5:34 p.m. and another installment of the Verbal Fitness Sessions. And today, yes, we were just reminding you of our interactive question today, of course, being World Egg Day. And yeah, what's your favorite egg-related treat? You can SMS, WhatsApp, tweet. You've got all the details there. And earlier Tufail was a bit sad when I said we're going for an ad break, not an egg break. So I just wanted to tell him that, you know, I was just joking. Alright then, here we go. Abdullah is on the line right now, so we'll get straight into it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Abdullah Bayat.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, Jad?
Alhamdulillah. Did you know that today is World Egg Day?
No, no idea.
You learn something new every day.
Now I was scrambling around all day.
Good one. Puns, eh? I love them. Abdullah, I was checking a picture on Facebook before we get into this discussion. It's on the importance of exercise and healthy living. This picture I saw, it says here, it's impossible to lose weight just by eating salads. Ever looked at buffaloes? They only eat grass.
And I thought this. So do baboons, they eat vegetarians, but this song is crazy.
Alright, so now we've got lots of questions. Abdullah, you know we always get lots of questions coming through. Once Appa also sent a question on the last time we were on, but it came through too late. I'm hoping we can somehow squeeze her question in. But let's get it all started right now. How long should people rest in between workouts?
This is age dependent, but as a general rule of thumb, cardiovascular training can be done almost daily. It's advisable when you do strength training to rest each muscle group that you've trained at least 48 hours in between. The muscles only grow at rest. So what happens is during a strength workout on your microscopic level, mm-hmm. your muscles tear so that when they rest, they grow back together stronger and denser. This is known as hypertrophy. Now, the opposite of hypertrophy is atrophy. That means muscle wastage. And this, interestingly, also occurs 48 hours after your last workout. So it's important to stimulate each muscle group at least 48 hours after and no longer, preferably each muscle group once or twice per week. So, for example, you can have a split system. Your routine can consist of a full body workout on a Monday, a Wednesday, and Friday. In such a case, your body will be stimulated, the whole body will be stimulated three times a week, and you should be having adequate rest. Or you can have a split routine with the upper body working on the one day and the lower on the other, and then the third day will be a rest day. But, you know, your trainer, your personal trainer would be able to do the program design according to your goals and the rest intervals you require.
Now, the next question, you can see with these verbal fitness sessions that curiosity is created. So we see this must be coming from a young listener. It says here, should children lift weights? Or maybe it's from a parent. Should children lift weights? And if they do, will they stay short?
Well, firstly, it's not advisable for children to lift free weights because doing so at an early age prematurely closes their epiphyseal plates. Now, these are growth plates situated at the end of their bones. Now, this premature closing of the growth plates will inevitably stunt their growth, yes. Strength training is important, however, and for kids, this can be done through a variety of sports such as martial arts, spinning, swimming, cricket, and so on. A general rule of thumb also in this one is that any exercise less than their body weight should be marginally safe for their development in terms of strength. Because remember, although we don't want to prematurely close those end plates, we also want to grow the bones stronger and healthy. So some type of resistance training is good. Generally, their body weight is good enough for that.
Right. The next one, should I disclose my medications to my fitness trainer? Should a personal trainer know all of the medications someone is on and why?
Yes, well, it's near impossible for your fitness trainer to know all the medication you're on and have an intense description or knowledge of all the medications out on the market. But it is imperative you disclose all your medical history, including current medication, on your assessment. And this is normally done with your first assessment via a PARQ questionnaire or a screening questionnaire. Reputable trainers normally conduct assessments before designing a program so that they're able to ascertain your risk profile and also research exercises or contraindicated exercises or activity in relation to your medical history or medication. Now, for example, if you have high blood pressure, if you're hypertensive, there are certain exercises that will avoid you doing in a program, like overhead extensions and lat pull downs and anything that avoids or that encourages activity above your heart rate or above your head. In other instances, there might be medication that produce certain effects, such as slowing down your heart rate or speeding up of your heart rate, and your trainer would then be aware of this with program design. So it's very important to disclose such information to best prepare him for, you know, for any mishap that might occur. preferably, you know, with early knowledge or intervention, knowing your history, it will be easy to correct if anything inappropriate is to occur during your workout.
Right, the next one. How important is nutrition if someone works out consistently or constantly?
Nutrition is very important. There's an easy analogy I'd like to use, right? How important is fuel to a car?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a Ferrari, right, and a Ferrari is normally an high-performance car, thrive on high-octane fuel. So to expect peak performance, you fill it with diesel or paraffin, you might get very poor performance, if any at all. Now, a high-performance vehicle, or any vehicle for that matter, need high-octane fuel. Any vehicle for that matter will go nowhere without fuel. The body devoid of adequate nourishment will dig into stores of energy latent in muscles and fat and literally start consuming itself to keep going until it wastes away and you're unable to continue. So all your gains that you're putting on in the gym through all your hard work and that is definitely going to dissipate through the usage of energy via menial activity and burning your body up, basically. So nourishment is essential for the balance of carbohydrates, proteins and fats to keep you going.
All right, the next one, obesity and lifting. Is it safe? Is it safe for obese people to lift weights?
Yes, absolutely. It is advisable for overweight people to lift weights because this is the best way to burn off body fat. Now, to move muscle, it just requires more energy than to move fat. So the more exercises you do to stimulate large muscle groups, the more energy you will expend. I generally have a rule that if people need to attain a goal weight and they're severely overweight, I work only large muscle groups for the first few months just to activate and expend as many calories and as much energy as possible and then focus on the toning of the smaller muscles at a later stage. Because on a peripheral level, you do get the small muscles activating while you do the larger muscle groups. So it's not necessary to focus energy on the small muscle groups that burn up very little calories. So compound exercises combined with diet, cardio, and strength training is usually a sensible approach, but it has to be done under guidance, particularly as certain exercises place a lot more stress on the joints, which are already overloaded. So you want to prevent injury. So I say for a person like this, consult an exercise specialist and they'll guide you accordingly.
This one coming now from a sister, I guess, obviously. Will weights make me bulky? How can they lift weights and not get that bulky masculine look?
I get this all the time from women who embark on a fitness program and once they've done the program design and they see the inclusion of bench pressing and shoulder pressing and squats, with a frown on their face, always ask, am I going to get too bulky? Am I going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Am I going to look too bulky and beefy and lose my femininity? But with that said, you know, it's very easy to assume that weight training will bulk you up. However, it's not that easy. You have various attenuating circumstances such as genetics, your body type, and the way your body responds to certain stimuli. Men on their own find it very difficult to bulk up initially, but they subscribe to a variety of different arsenals such as shakes and recovery and pre and post workout shakes, and their nutrition is completely different from that of females, but they too have testosterone and their recovery is a lot better than men because of this crucial hormone. So now, although genetics and body type do play a slight role in response to strength training and free weight training, it must be noted that the program design is crucial when it comes to one's goals regarding weight training. A light to medium weight is preferable with a high amount of repetitions as opposed to incredibly heavy weight done over few reps. So as an example, there's so many programs specifically for women, and because the female body type differs, especially with hormonal makeup, certain exercises are not conducive to maintaining a feminine physique. So consult a trainer, and your trainer will definitely tailor make your program according to your lifestyle, your body type, and not just your gender.
Right, the next one, it says, is it true that it's not a good idea to do the same exercises during each workout session? How frequently should we change the workout routine?
That's a good question. Let it be noted, the human body is incredibly smart and adaptive, right? Our resilience, our tenacity, and these are all traits which ensure our survival as a species. But did you know that it takes a mere 3 weeks to adapt to a new activity? Therefore, one stimulus needs to be altered to attain a new response every 3 weeks. The fundamentals should remain the same, but the dynamic principles around mental and physical stimulation needs to be varied. It needs to be varied enough to warrant a favorable response. Certain programs allow a 12-week change certain programs allow a 6-week change and some of them allow a 3-week change. So these intervals are all there for reason, being that the body responds to overload, but it adapts fairly quickly. So the process of adaptation varies from individual to individual. And if your personal trainer is really spot on with his measurements and with his assessment of you and tracking your progress, you will realize that that your response should be varied according to, or your program should be varied according to your response.
Right. Now the next one. It says here, I'm at my goal, now what? So basically, after someone has reached their fitness goals, how should they work out a nutrition plan be altered if they no longer wish to lose weight or build additional muscle?
Okay, firstly, congratulations on acquiring a goal weight to the listener. And but before the celebration, remember these steps, right? Mm-hmm. Over 50% of previously obese people who attain their goal weight regain a significant amount of it within the first year after. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are varying number of influencing factors which could lead to this, such as overconfidence, lack of motivation, maybe comfort eating, and a host of emotional and psychological disorders like body dysmorphia, which is a distorted perception of one's body. If I may, there is never a maintenance phase, Ijaz, because maintenance would have connotations of stagnation.
Mm-hmm.
And according to me, there is no stagnation because there's no one spot that you fill and stay there perpetually. Time continuously overtakes at a rapid and constant pace. Therefore, with age, a determining factor in the secretion of hormones such as testosterone and HGH, which is human growth hormone. These are two ingredients in producing response like youth and vigor and health and so on. So with its rapid decline, we definitely need to stay one step ahead of it. With human growth hormone, for example, at the age of 60, a man's secretion and production of human growth hormone is decreased by 75% in comparison to a 21-year-old.
Hmm.
75% is a hell of a lot. So you could understand now why we need to, you know, how you buy youth by secreting these hormones. But guess what? You are in control of it. And then you get the supplement industry who actually prey on people who understand the importance of these hormones. So they laden their labels. All their labels have the keywords that we want to hear, testosterone-inducing ingredients or HGH-inducing ingredients that will help you buy youth and vigor and all of that. But you can do it with all that, without all that fanciness and without spending all that money by adjusting your program. Mm. So youth can be bought. An interesting study conducted by Dr. Tabata, right, had two groups of subjects, and they were exposed to two different programs. The first group was required to do a 20-second sprint with a 10-second rest multiplied over 8 sets. So all they had to do is sprint 20 seconds, rest for 10 seconds, but do this 8 times. The second group was required to do 2 60-minute sessions of moderate cardiovascular exercise. So, for example, they were told, get on the treadmill, walk at a pace of 6 kilometers at a flat gradient over 60 minutes. So now the results were shocking. The first group acquired 14% more in the VO2 max, which is the aerobic capacity, and 20% more in the anaerobic activity. This is now the group only trained for a significantly short time with the sprints and the rest and so forth.
Mm.
Group 2, who trained at a moderate pace, gained less than 1% in aerobic capacity and with little or no change in anaerobic capacity. So this clearly indicates that intensity superseded quantity and duration. Right, so in other words, compound training is by far superior to isolation training. In all humility, if I could use yours truly as an example, my goal weight was acquired a few years ago, and since then my strength workouts rarely exceed 30 minutes a day due to intensity. The myth that running long distance and marathon sessions are crucial for building the body or burning fat must pick up the fact that all you do for the body is break down the body through such activity by encouraging the secretion of free radicals.
Mm.
These free radicals usually break down your body and ultimately cause you to age prematurely.
Mm.
So if you look at people generally in the gym, look at the body types on the treadmill and the cardiovascular section, and look at the people in the weight training section who hardly do any cardio. Which of the two have better physiques? Generally, the people who love to weight, isn't it?
Mm.
The people on the treadmills end up looking the same, if not worse, if not older, a year later, because they don't encourage the secretion of those two valuable hormones, meaning testosterone and human growth hormone. This can only be done through intensity, short bursts, short workouts, butt safe workouts. Yeah, so I can go on and on with this debate because I've experienced, I've adjusted my program over the 30 years I've been training. I've adjusted it so many times, but I'm finding onto something that works for my body type, and I think this is about it. To buy use, you need to make your workout shorter, you may need to make them intense, and you need to stop doing extended medicine type of training that breaks down your body and ages you prematurely.
Definitely, and plus in today's times, with no barakah in time, I guess it's even better to do these short bursts of exercises.
100%.
Now on to your second last question, Abdullah. It says here, does glutamine help with 48 to 72 hour pain after intense workouts, is from Sister Sumaya?
Glutamine assisted or coupled with amino acids, yes, it does help with the transport of proteins and the repair of muscle, and glutamine is a crucial ingredient in terms of repair, so it's good to use, yes.
And the final question from a sister that sent this through a bit too late last time round, but I'm not sure if you might be able to help here, Abdullah. She says that I suffer from carpal tunnel syndrome, help.
Okay, it's, the question is akin to, although it's a very interesting question, and I would like to give her an answer, but I would rather relay her to a medical professional, such as an orthopedist, who would give a more professional medical answer than I could do over the phone. So I suggest she gets in touch with a GP or a physician who could refer her to somebody who can consult her condition.
Perfect. That's fine. Jazakallah khair, Abdullah, for answering our questions as usual. Listeners always enjoy these verbal fitness sessions. You have yourself a wonderful weekend, brother.
You're welcome, Ijaz. Same to you, my brother. Right, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, that was Abdullah Bayat. Once again, with the verbal fitness sessions, so much questions come through. And we managed this time to go 10 different questions on fitness and health, which it seems to be more and more people are moving towards to fail.